prayers this morning, so thank you. I'm not Pope Leo and I'm not Father Francis. Just disclaimer. I get confused with both of them, believe it or not. I don't think I look like either one. They're both older than I, so I don't feel that's a compliment either. Thank you, Liz, and thank you for inviting me to be here this morning. Very happy to come to share a few thoughts about confession and to give you the opportunity to ask some questions also. I know very often people have questions about confession and there's no opportunity to ask, so I'll do what I can to field as many questions as I can. And I talk very fast, so I can get through everything, I think. But it's a great opportunity to come and reflect on this, and I know you all know a lot about confession, I'm sure, but all the mysteries of our faith, teachings of our faith, are always great to return to every now and then and think about, pray about, learn more. I know even as a priest, sometimes just going back to the basics, after years of theology, something will come to mind which I didn't think about before, or you know, a little insight, or just a greater gratitude for these gifts that God has given us, the mysteries of our faith. So even if you know everything that I'm going to say today, maybe the Holy Spirit will move your hearts to deepen your knowledge or your love or gratitude for these gifts. They really are wonderful things, the sacraments of the church, these beautiful gifts which God gives us. And I think it's really appropriate, especially this time of year, to talk about confession. Now you might be saying, wait, Father, this is not the Lenten retreat. This is Christmas time, right? We just finished Christmas. Yesterday was, at least officially, the Epiphany. So we're still kind of in the Christmas season. But yes, it's still appropriate to speak about confession now. And I'll tell you why I think that's true. First of all, remember the reason why God became man was to forgive us our sins, to save us from sin. That's the reason for the season, if you will. We don't usually think about that with Christmas. We think of how beautiful it all is, and it is. But the reason why God became man was to save us from sin. So it is the reason for the Christmas season. Theologians and even saints have speculated over the centuries, what if Adam and Eve never sinned, would God still have become man? And there's good saints, there's saints on both sides of the issue, we don't really know, so don't worry about the answer, we'll find out in heaven. We don't know, but we shouldn't have to worry about that. You know, what if this didn't happen? Well, God has that figured out. But we do know that it's a fact that God became man to save us from sin. That is a teaching of our church and a dogma of our faith. So it's good to talk about this now at Christmas time. Second of all, because remember when God became man, when he took on our human nature, he took on everything with our human nature except sin. And we are physical creatures. Of course, we have spiritual souls also, but we're physical creatures. We're not angels, despite the wings, right? You took your wings off. I was looking for the wings out there, right? But we're physical creatures, and so God meets us where we're at. He uses physical things to save us. He took on our human nature, and his human nature became an instrument for salvation. Something he used to save us. As we mentioned, we just heard about reminding his dying on the cross. Okay? He could not have died on the cross had he not taken on our human nature, because God by himself, you might say, can't die. Okay? And he continues to do that. He continues to use physical things to communicate supernatural grace. God uses physical things to communicate supernatural grace. That's a fundamental principle in sacramental theology. We see this all the time. You experience it all the time. Water, wine, oil, and so on, right? We see even the Gospels. You remember that story where that woman who was suffering for many years said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be saved. And God chose to communicate his grace through even just that. Our Lord, when he walked this world, even used his spit in the ears of a deaf man or mud. And he used those physical things for probably a number of reasons, but chief of which because we're physical, okay? So he meets us where we're at, you might say, okay? And we see that first and foremost in the incarnation, okay, in our Lord's birth. Well, that continues in the sacraments of the church. In fact, Pope Pius XI once said, the sacraments are kind of like relics of the incarnation. Okay? Not really, but it's kind of like that. You know, they're sort of an echo, you might say, of the incarnation. God continuing to use physical things to communicate his grace to us. It's an extremely important part of our theology and our faith. We don't think about it often because we're around it all the time. Another great theologian, Cardinal Charles Jornet, who lived in the last century, said that the sacraments are like God's hands reaching out to us across space and time. I always love that image. God reaching out to us, that physical touch, that person-to-person communication. As a priest, and I'm sure maybe even you also, you hear people at times say, well, you know, God feels so distant from me. I don't really feel his presence in my life. And I'll usually ask the person, well, do you go to confession regularly and go to Mass? And fortunately, sometimes they'll say, well, no. And I'll say, well, that's because God's reaching his hands out to you in the sacraments and you're running the other way. So hold on to those hands, okay? And we know even sometimes when we're doing well and we're going to confession, we don't always feel the presence. But we're certainly not going to feel it if we're running the other way. So the sacraments are like God's hands across space and time for 2,000 years, pulling us back to him. So that's all connected to the incarnation. I like to call the seven sacraments the seven wonders of the Christian world. You've heard of the seven wonders of the ancient world, right? The pyramids and things like that. Well, the sacraments are like the seven wonders of the Christian world. They're even better than miracles. Miracles actually are meant to grab our attention, like that miracle Lanciano. But they don't actually save us, but sacraments do. Okay? So they're really amazing things. So this leads also to the first question that often comes up with confession. Why do I have to confess my sins to a priest? Right? We've all heard that question. Very often put by those who don't want to go to confession, right? But it's a good question, and we may have asked ourselves that question too. Liz mentioned I worked in high school, so I was the dean of students and headmaster of our boarding school. Elise Abraham was here, a pleasant surprise. I taught her sons also. And teenagers, as you know, if you're all moms and grandmothers, they always think they got like, I got a question for you, Father, you know, you didn't, like, they're gonna stump you. And I always say, that was a great question, you know. Someone else asked that question 1,000 years ago, and here's what St. Thomas Aquinas said. So it's good to ask the questions, though, and we should ask them. There's nothing wrong. We shouldn't be afraid of that. That's how we grow in our knowledge. So I always tell them there's good questions and there's good answers for those questions. So why do we have to confess our sins to a priest? Well, the first answer is a little bit like the one you give your children when they're young, you know, because I said so, okay? You know, because God said so. In John chapter 20, verse 21, our Lord says to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they're forgiven. Whose sins you shall hold bound, or in other words, not forgive, they're not forgiven. So right there in the Gospels, we see our Lord giving the apostles the power to forgive sins. Now that would make absolutely no sense at all if you didn't have to confess your sins to a priest. It would make no sense. Okay, so we see him instituting the sacrament of confession, giving the apostles the power passed down, of course, through ordination. So the first answer really is because, for some reason, God wanted us to do this way. Okay, and that should be enough. We can kind of guess at this point why he might do that. And one goes back to what I mentioned a minute ago about our person-to-person relationship with God and how he wants to meet us where we're at. We're not angels floating around out there. We talk to each other. Right? We just finished Christmas. And if you had your best friend, you know, Christmas passed and you didn't hear from her or him, and they didn't write you a card or even text you or give you a phone call or anything, you'd say, wow, wonder why, huh? And then you pick up the phone and call, oh, yeah, of course, I wish you Merry Christmas in my heart, but I didn't call you. And you're like, huh? Right? Because we communicate with each other. That's how we talk. That's how we exist, right? And so God wants the same thing with us. So when we commit sins, he wants us to go to him in a certain sense, in a physical, personal way. But of course, he is not up. He's up in heaven. So he has us communicate to him through the priest. Right? The priest, as you know, is an alter Christus, as we say in Latin, another Christ. Okay, sinners though we are, we take the place of Christ in the confessional. So God wants that person-to-person relationship. So even with confession, you know, it makes sense that we have a sort of a inner human action, the way we communicate, the way we say we're sorry. We'll get back to that in a minute. The other reason is, let's face it, it's good for our humility. It was great to hear that litany of humility, which is kind of hard, isn't it? You know, I kind of cough a couple times during that. That was written, by the way, they think, by Cardinal Mary Duval, a strange kind of name, but he was the cardinal under Pope Pius X. He was the Secretary of State under Pope Pius X, and a saintly man whose cause for beatification is up, but we'll see if it ever gets through. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful litany, because humility is the basis for the spiritual life, right? Without humility, we can't really go anywhere. So let's face it, going to confession is good for humility, right? I don't want to go, it's kind of hard, and right? It's good. We shouldn't be afraid of confession, which I'll talk about in a second, but, you know, God knows what we need. So let's face it, all we had to do is just wake up in the morning and say, God, I'm sorry, and everything was gone, and it'd be kind of too easy, wouldn't it? So our Lord knows our hearts, okay? So sacrament of confession makes sense, in addition to the fact that God instituted it. We see also in the Acts of the Apostles talking about confession also, chapter 19. We see the letter of St. James. He speaks about confessing your sins to a priest. When someone is sick, call in a priest to anoint them also. So we have plenty of references in Scripture and also all throughout the history of the church. Okay, so now often I've given a version of this talk, speaking of teenagers, to young people, teenagers, young adults. And one of the examples I give also regarding confession, when you don't want to go or we're afraid to go, think of this. Let's pretend we're all 19 again. No, I don't. I agree. I don't. Yeah, teenage years are the worst years of your life. When I ran a high school, I said, guys, just get through this, because Hollywood says they're the best years of your life. If that's true, we're in trouble. They're not. But let's pretend we're 19 for a moment. And you take your parents' car out without them knowing. I'm not confessing my own past sin. And you run it into a wall accidentally, and you destroy the car, and you don't even want to go home because mom and dad are going to kill me. So you go to your friend's house, and you just think, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can't go home. Like the person who says, Father, my sins are so great, even God can't forgive me. That's, no. I can't go home. I don't know what to do. And your brother or your sister calls you on the phone and says, listen, mom and dad already know about it. Really? Yeah, they know everything. Like, kind of like God. And they said, if you just come home and say, I'm sorry, they'll forgive you. And you say, like, what? You know, they're not mad? Oh, yeah, they're mad. And what you did was wrong. But they'll forgive you if you just come home and say, I'm sorry. I won't be in trouble. Well, you'll have to wash the dishes once or twice. That's it. That's it? That's it. There's confession right there. No matter what we do, we come home and say we're sorry, God will forgive you. And all we have to do is wash the dishes. Well, maybe a few Hail Marys, okay? Okay? Because Christ died on the cross already for us. He already did all the work. Why people don't want to go to confession, I'll never know. The devil knows. That's why he works so hard to keep us away from it. It's a sacrament of mercy. Right? We always hear people, oh, God's so mean and cruel and all these rules and all that. Are you kidding me? He's sitting there waiting to pour out his mercy on you. We should be running to confession, right? It's a beautiful sacrament. Yeah. But, you know, people say, well, it's so hard. Well, guess what? The more often you go, the easier it gets. So go often, right? And our list is not so long. We'll get to that in a second. So you go often. So make use of this sacrament. I tell people, you know, my own recommendation is to go once a month at least for lay people. I tell priests you should go every week or two. Now, that's my recommendation. That's not an obligation, okay? Strictly speaking, if you haven't committed a mortal sin, which we'll get to in a second, you don't have to go to confession, strictly speaking, okay? But, like I like to say, you don't wait till your engine dies to change your oil, right? To go often. I say, like, my recommendation, personally, I tell people, as a lay person, you should go, like, once a month. I know people go every 2 weeks. That's good. I know some who go every week. Okay, I wouldn't go every more than once a week unless there's something you're really working on, but you don't want to become scrupulous, okay? But you can't go wrong. I've never met anyone in my life, I've been a priest almost going on 26 years now, who regretted going to confession too often. Because remember, we receive God's mercy, the forgiveness of all our sins, but also the grace to grow in holiness, that nearness to Christ which we want. Remember, it's like his hands reaching out to you. So take God up on the offer, okay? Okay, so let's go back to that question about why do we have to confess our sins to a priest? Sometimes you don't. Mortal sins have to be confessed in confession. Venial sins could be forgiven outside, okay? Now, just a quick review. Remember, a venial sin is a less serious sin, and a mortal sin is a serious sin, okay? That's a simple explanation. One analogy people sometimes give is a venial sin, you know, for we're sort of, you know, aiming for a target, the venial sin just goes off a little bit. You know, it's a little bruise in our relationship with our Lord, right? But the mortal sin goes completely the other way. When we commit a mortal sin, that's the word mortal from the Latin word, sorry, Latin teacher, means death. We kill the spiritual life within us, okay? It's a very serious sin. Now, sometimes we don't know. We'll get back to that in a minute. You know, I don't know if what I did was that wrong or not. But objectively speaking, a venial sin hurts our relationship with our Lord. It hurts our spiritual life. A mortal sin kills it. Okay? So think about this. When you're sick, you can still drive yourself to the doctor, go get your medicine, get well. If someone dies, they can't do that. They need, well, in a certain sense, a miracle to raise them up from the dead. That's confession. So if you commit a mortal sin, you have to confess that in confession. You need confession because you can't help yourself at that point. And that's what the sacrament of confession is. It's that outside source raising you up from the dead. Make sense? But a venial sin, you can tell God you're sorry. Now, the question comes up, well, how do I know if I commit a venial sin, I tell God I'm sorry, how do I know if I'm forgiven? Well, we don't have that absolute certainty. It's another great advantage of the sacrament of confession. We walk out of confession, it's all gone. Assuming you did, you know, correctly, okay? It's all gone. So that's the nice thing. But yeah, if you haven't commit a venial sin, say an Our Father, you know? We should tell God we're sorry every day, like before Mass, the beginning, right? We could do the Confiteor, the I confess to Almighty God. Okay? That's there to take away our venial sins. Okay? So sometimes people say, well, you Catholics say you all have to go to confession for all your sins. No, not actually. We don't say that. Okay? All right? So venial sins can be forgiven outside. It's true we don't have that certainty. So sometimes we don't know, well, you know, was I really sorry enough? I don't know. But strictly speaking, only mortal sins have to be confessed. Okay. So let's go through a couple of things here about what you need for confession. Confess, first of all, mortal sins if you have them, okay? And if it's a mortal sin, you have to say how many times you did it to the best of your ability, okay? The best you can, so far as you can remember. The reason is because if you intentionally hide a mortal sin in confession, then you're not really sorry for all your sins, and then you can't be forgiven. This makes sense, right? So if you say, well, I only did this once, but you did it 30 times, well, then you're hiding sins and you're not confessing everything. So, but again, you can guess, well, I don't remember. I think it was like three. Okay, God sees your heart. He's not mean. He's not out to get you. So if you commit a mortal sin, you go to confession, you have to mention any mortal sins you can remember to the best of your ability and guess at the number, something. And if it's been sometimes, Father, it's been 50 years since my last confession. All right, well, you could still give a guess. This, I don't know, maybe 100 times, maybe this, whatever. But try to put a number on it, okay? And then you have to have contrition for your sins, okay? Contrition is basically being sorry for your sins, and you probably know, you remember from your catechism, there's perfect contrition, where you're sorry because you offended God, okay? Sometimes something we call imperfect contrition or attrition, when you're sorry because you just don't want to go to hell. But the nice thing about confession is God will take even that with confession. You know, God is so merciful, right? So contrition, which includes a firm purpose of amendment, which means I don't want to do this again. Now, sometimes people get stuck here and say, well, Father, you know, we went to the party last night and I had a few glasses of wine too much. And I'll probably do the same thing next week because I like wine. Okay, but are you going to try to do the right thing? Yes. Okay, that's a firm purpose of amendment. Or some people say, Father, I do this all the time. I'm telling you, by the end of the day, I'm probably going to end up gossiping about my neighbor again. I don't want to, but I do. Okay, you don't want to? Right. Are you going to try not to? Right. Okay, that's a firm purpose of amendment. Okay. You don't have to be a guaranteed perfect person to get confession. Otherwise, you don't need confession. Okay, so I'm going to try it. I don't want to do this. I'm going to work on this. I want to avoid this sin. That's the firm purpose of amendment. That's included in our contrition. Okay. When you make an act of contrition, which priests should have you do, sometimes priests don't, that act of contrition is really just so you can manifest that sorrow, right? So I know there's all kinds of versions out there, and you know there's not a right wrong or a wrong right one or a wrong one, but it should have one where you say, I'm sorry for my sins. For instance, sometimes nowadays people will say, I'll say, make an act of contrition, they'll say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner, which is a beautiful prayer, the Jesus prayer, as we call it. But in there, you didn't really say, I'm sorry for my sins. It doesn't make it invalid or anything that. But the act of contrition should manifest, I'm sorry for my sins. Okay. It's just so the priest hears it, and that's the point of it, okay? Because sometimes people will say, well, Father, the priest didn't ask me for an act of contrition. Is my confession valid? Yeah, it's still valid. Because what you need is you need to have the contrition in your heart, but the act of contrition so you can manifest that. But if the priest didn't ask for it and you're still contrite, you're okay. Makes sense? Okay. Then the priest will give you a penance. Again, it's usually I'm kind of a pushover. I must confess, I give light penances, but it should be something you can do. And I always tell people, just do it if you can, as soon as you get out of the confessional, so you don't forget. What happens if I forget my penance? That question is often asked. Don't worry, okay? If you really meant to do it, but you forget it, just do something. That's the first thing you should do, just do something, okay? And then what you can do, and not a bad idea, is next time you go to confession, it could be to a different priest, just say, well, Father, I went to confession before, but I forgot my penance. Because what a priest can do, a lot of people don't know this, even some priests don't know it, but a priest can commute the sentence that you received in another confession, okay? So if you say, I forgot, the priest can say, okay, well, for that confession, you don't need to reconfess, but do, you know, three Hail Marys or something, okay? So the bottom line is, don't worry, your sins are forgiven. Now, if you had no intention of doing the penance, I'm not gonna do it, well then it's invalid confession, right? You're hard to heart, okay? But it happens, you forget. The priest should give you something that's doable. For instance, if you were to say, well, for penance, you need to go, you know, visit the poor, and you think to myself, I can't drive. Well, then you can just tell the priest, Father, I'm not able to do that. Can you give me another penance? There's nothing wrong with asking that, okay? Not because, oh, I don't like that, you know? I don't want to say I'm sorry to my neighbor, you know, that's... But if it's something you really can't do, tell the priest that, okay? So the priest should worry about the rest of that. And then he gives you absolution. Some priests start to say the absolution quietly while you're saying your act of contrition. Some don't. I use the old form in Latin, so I say the first half while you're making your act of contrition, and I wait till you're done to finish off. But as long as he says the words of absolution, I absolve you from your sins, or whatever language he uses, and then you're good to go. So a couple other things. So when you go in, and you know, I always tell people, first of all, make your examination of conscience before you get in there. Okay, because especially if there's a line, and I know I've heard confessions here at St. Martin's, they go for hours, which is wonderful. But you don't want to make those people have more sins by the time they get to the confessional. Right? I know, I've been around here for it. Not here, I mean, I've been around the church for 26 years. But think, you know, before, examination of conscience is something good to do every night before you go to bed. And then say, you know, a confitio, or I confess, so mighty God. We should do that every night. You know, you don't have to spend hours, but, you know, 60 seconds, 90 seconds. I'm sure your husband will tell you all your sins you've committed during the day. I knew a couple in a different parish where, no joke, that the wife would actually write, at the husband's request, the wife would write down his sins for him. I said, wow, that's humility. You're like, where do I find this guy? So, you know, do an examination beforehand. When you get in, you know, I always tell people it's good to just stick to the age-old formulas, and I'll tell you why. You know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been however long since my last confession. The reason why I say stick to that, because the priest, he doesn't, it's not absolutely necessary that he knows how long it's been, but it helps us help you. So, for instance, if you say, well, it's been 30 years, we say, okay, you know, we know what we're dealing with, we got to help you a little more. Or someone says, oh, Father, it's been a week since my last confession. Okay, you know, on the other side of the screen, we're thinking, okay, this person goes off and they know what they're doing, you know. So give us just an idea. You don't have to be precise, but Father, it's been like 3 months or so. Okay. It gives us an idea where you're at. That's all. Okay. And then again, you start with your confession. You start with the mortal sins. If you don't have any mortal sins, great. Go to your venial sins. Don't be so vague that we don't know what you're talking about, especially with mortal sins, but I think with all sins. You don't have to give great, great detail, but just be normal. What I mean is this. If I said to you, you know, later on today, what did you do today? And you said, oh, this morning I went to breakfast with my friends. We went to Denny's. Oh, okay. You told me what you did, right? If you said, this morning I engaged in charitable activity with other human beings. You're like, huh? Okay. Right? So like, what? So in confession, just say what you did. Okay? It's more common with like younger people, especially with sins against the sixth and ninth commandment. You know, I was impure. Okay? Now the priest has to ask the questions and now you feel awkward. Okay? In thought or action by yourself with another, or you know, I was uncharitable. Okay, did you say an unkind word to your husband or did you mow five people down on the 405 this morning? There's a big difference. We need to know because we need to know the sin is before we give you absolution. Okay, that's why we know, not because we're nosy, but it's required, okay? At the same time, you don't have to give us so much detail that, again, go back to our breakfast example. Oh, I went out for breakfast, went to Denny's. I had 3 eggs and 2 pieces of bacon and a cup of coffee like this. My friend had, she had, you know. Now I got to go to confession. Okay, so just be normal. I don't know how to say that, right? Just be normal. Okay. Now we all have our own human traits and personalities. Some like to talk more. Some like, you know. So, but try to keep the balance there. Just tell us what we need to know, and move you on. Another thing we hear all the time: we don't want to do this. And this is, I understand this is a super common way of speaking. It doesn't make anything valid, invalid. Excuse me. Well, what I'm really trying to work on now, I always tell people, I wish if I had a lever on my side of the confessional, it'd shoot you out, okay? And now we know what you mean, but again, what does that tell us? And I'm not trying to be, I am trying to be funny, but I'm not trying to be mean or sarcastic, but, you know, I'm really working on charity. Okay. So now I have to ask the question, like, well, did you do anything wrong? Oh, no, I'm just working. Okay, well, then that's not a sin, so don't confess it, right? We're all working on things, and we should be, okay? You know, or I need to do better at, you know, being kind to my husband. Okay, so since your last confession, did you do anything against your husband? You know, yes or no? So you see what I'm saying? So just say what the sin is. And I know these are modern expressions we use all the time. I'm going to give you a fake example of a great confession. You know who makes the best confessions in the world? This is not breaking any seal, don't worry. Children. When our Lord said, be like children, he wasn't joking. I'm going to give you a fake example. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 1 month since my last confession. I yelled at my sister 3 times. I hit my brother once. I stole some candy from the refrigerator, and I didn't do my homework. For these and all my sins, I'm sorry and ask for God's mercy. It's beautiful. A+. That kid gets an A+. I'll give you one Hail Mary, kid, because that was just fantastic. No, but really, that's the way to do it. You know, and someone once said to me, you mean we just dump off our sins? I said, exactly what you do. Exactly what you do. Well, I told you I ran a boys' boarding school, and one of the students used to call the confessional the sin bin. I love that. The sin bin. When you go to the garbage can, you don't play with the trash, right? You take it out, you make sure you get it all out, you dump it out, you close the door, and you get out of there. Perfect. That's what confession is. Okay. Now, the question comes, well, what if I want spiritual direction? Well, that's something different. So it's better, because sometimes you need direction, and we understand that. If it's more than just an easy, you know, clarification, you might ask the priest, Father, I'm here for confession, but I have a few questions, you know, can I talk to you after absolution? Because then he might say, yeah, I have got time, or you know what, there's a line down there, I really can't. But you want to generally keep your, you know, your questions for advice outside the confessional. Okay, one, because of time, but also because you don't want to mix the two up too much. Okay, sometimes we need a little clarification. Going back to the mortal sins, venial sins, is this common? Father, I did this, I don't know if it's a mortal sin or not. Another beautiful thing about confession, you don't need to be a moral theologian to go to confession. Just dump it off, okay? And then the priest might say, oh yeah, that's a venial sin or moral sin. And sometimes we don't know because, you know, we weren't there. Well, you know, it might have been, it's hard. I don't have to know either. That's the beautiful thing. I just need to hear it and give you absolution. Beautiful thing about confession. See, that God makes the sacraments so easy for us. And the most important ones he makes, well, they're all important, but he makes, like, think of a baptism, right? Just pour the water on the head of the child or and say the words, and it's, man, it's almost like, wow, that was it? Obviously, you have to have the intention, etc. Confession is so easy, and God wants it to be easy for us. So don't be vague. Confess that. Don't confess your husband's sins, your mother-in-law's sins. You know that, I'm sure. Another thing you might consider, this is not necessary for validity, but it's sometimes helpful, is just a very, very, very brief mention of your state in life. I mean, like, a married woman with three children or something like that. Or I've been married for years, I got, you know, you don't have to get the details. Or in my case, I'm a priest. Because if on the other side of the screen, especially, he might not know, and just an idea. I mean, again, that's helpful. It's not necessary, but it's helpful sometimes. Especially when someone comes in, especially when they're younger, you know, well, were they married or not? And they did this, I don't, you know, it can change possibly our need for information. So, you know, just simply, I'm a married woman. You don't have to give your age, don't worry about it. All right, I'm married somewhere above 30. but really, just a little something. It's helpful. The screen's there for you. If I know you can go to confession face-to-face if you want. Those screens have a long history. But, you know, they're there for you, but also for the priest. I can tell you as a priest, I prefer the screen, okay? Just because it gives, first of all, I think it helps people stay focused. That's my experience. You know, it makes it less like a, you know, coffee table chat, coffee hour chat, which again, there's places for that, and there's a, you know, need for that direction and things. But just, it helps people kind of get down to business and then move on. And there's been times where, I'll confess, there's been times where I was moved to tears by someone's confession. Where you just hurt, and oh my gosh, I'm glad there was a screen here. It was kind of embarrassing on my part, but it was such a beautiful confession and such a moment of grace. So having the barrier kind of, it's helpful. Especially I don't have to shave that way either. And I think that's, let's see. So sometimes a priest will give you advice. Sometimes some priests like to go a long time, I know. And some people like that. That's fine. Again, we're all different. If you don't, just go to someone different. You know, that's. You know, I live with like 80 priests, so I believe I know we're all different. And I think that's it. I can take some questions now. Oh, okay. It's probably something I forgot. But, okay, let's see. Is it helpful to? Sorry, there's a word that I can't. When we come in with a list of us confess, Holy Spirit. I think it's a question about we come in with a list of confession in the confessional. Should we just ask the Holy Spirit to help, or should we come in with a list? Maybe that's what the question. I apologize. It's hard to read one of the words. Just do your best to remember, obviously. Sometimes you don't remember. Sometimes this is also very common if you've been away from the faith for a long time and you come back after years and then you think, gosh, Father, I think I forgot this. I always tell people, just mention it then. Father, it's been a month since my last confession, but also I think I remember some sins from my past. Okay, good. Dump them off now. Maybe you confessed them, maybe you didn't. Again, a beautiful thing about confession. 30 years ago I did this. I don't know if I confessed it or not. You did now. It's over. Again, it's a beautiful thing, okay? You don't want to be scrupulous also. Father, I did this 30 years ago, and I confess it like 35 times already. It's good. I mean, sometimes God, as we know, God allows us to think about our past sins for our own humility. And I tell people, when you find that, you know, I did something really wrong many years ago, and I confessed it, but it keeps coming back. That happens to all of us, I'm sure, or most of us. That's fine. Use it as an opportunity to thank God for his mercy, and then to pray for someone who's going through the same thing. Okay? The devil doesn't let us forget our sins because he wants us to think we're never forgiven. That's different. God wants us to forgive them. God wants us to forget them, but if we remember them, use it as an opportunity for good. Okay? You may know the story of many years ago, there was a nun having visions of our Lord. And the nun was, said that our Lord's appearing to us. And as sister's doing a con, we're like, all right. Sister said she's seeing visions of our Lord. And so they said, well, call in a priest. And they called in the priest. And the priest was talking to her, and she said, and he said, oh, I'll tell you what, sister. The next time you have this vision, ask our Lord what my last sin was. And she said, okay. And so she had this vision, and our Lord appeared to her, and she said, what was the last sin of my confessor? And he said, I don't know, I already forgave it. At that point, Father Claude de Colombier knew that this sister, St. Margaret Mary, was having true visions of our Lord. Mm-hmm. The devil doesn't let you forget your sins. You know, when an exorcist is being performed, which I don't recommend going to, but if you're there, so sometimes the devil will yell out the sins of those who are there. But God forgets them forever. Is it a sin to talk in church? Well, not if you're talking to God. we should respect the silence of the church, because remember, there are other people there praying, right? So I'll confess, we run into this at St. Michael's Abbey all the time because we practically live in our church. I mean, we're there literally, and we can get sloppy. If you've ever been to our church, we're up there in the choir. And so we're all prone to it. And I sort of beat my own breast on this. But yeah, we got to be conscious of those around us. And in a certain sense, respect for the place to speak quietly. And if you don't have to carry on with a conversation, obviously don't. I talk about that. I know I could probably get stoned to death here, but babies crying in church. God bless all you mothers and fathers to deal with. That's not easy. But I'll tell you a story. When I was first ordained, I was saying Mass regularly at St. Killian's. And, they'd have the meet and greet line afterwards. And someone said, Father, you hear those babies crying? And I was in those, first years after ordaining, oh, I didn't even notice. And he said, well, we did. And I thought, I never thought of that. Now, I said, well, I'm not the pastor. I just fill in there. I can't do anything about it. But it did make me think about, there's a church full of people there. So just, if you can, take your baby out. If you can, we live in California. I grew up in Chicago. It's impossible in the middle of winter to take your baby out. But, if you can, maybe that's just something. I just propose that. You're all, maybe you have grandchildren. But it's something I just want to tell moms. And every priest is afraid to preach on this because we don't want to look like we're heartless, right? Because we're fighting, the pro-life movement, all that. And, Father. And so it's just something to be conscious. So it's a long answer to your question. But, yeah, I think it's better not to carry on conversations in church. Even with God, after out loud. I know sometimes in our abbey, you can walk in and find a rare moment where no one's in church, and sometimes a group will come in and start praying out loud, and I don't want to tell them not to pray out loud because you don't want to sound horrible, but, the acoustics in our church, you can hear everything, and, if someone else walks in, well, now I can't pray because they're praying, I'd say it's better not to do it. Is it a sin? I suppose it depends on the situation. And my last question? Yeah. Act of contrition. Priests should ask you to recite the act of contrition. Sometimes they don't. I don't know why. I'm going to guess because they want to move the line along. But again, it's when you make the act of contrition, you're showing the priest insofar, we can't read your heart. So you're showing here, I am actually sorry. I'm doing my, I'm fulfilling this part of the deal by being contrite, by saying I'm sorry. So he should ask you. It doesn't make it invalid. Just say it out when you get back out, when you get out of the confessional. Yeah, when you're waiting in line for confession, I know it's hard. when we all, in my day, we used to study in Rome for our theology, and we wait in line, and there was always some nun cutting you off in line, you know. Sister, so pious, and then, you know, now I got to go, I got to confess that. Waiting in line can be hard, I know, just do your best. I guess use it as a good way to think, okay, you know, we don't have in a certain sense, we don't have a right to God's mercy, if that makes any sense. We do and we don't. God gives it because he wants to. So maybe just reflect on those things, reflect on your own sinfulness. But also, you don't know what's going on in that confessional. It could be the person. Maybe there's something that's really tragic that you just have to work through. And like I said, usually I say, don't tell us more than we need, but sometimes, okay, we got to work through this. So you don't know what's going on there. Maybe it's the priest. So it's hard to be patient in lines. That was the confession. The question was about lines in confession. You know, just what do you do? Pray. And, you know, there's no way around it. No, there's no minimum, and there's no maximum number of sins to confess. Certainly, I said if a mortal sin, you should go to confession as soon as you can. Don't go to communion with a mortal sin on your soul. But if you have a mortal sin, you go to confession, even just one. People sometimes will make what they call devotional confessions. Father, it's been 2 weeks since my last confession. I can't think of anything I did, actually. Okay, Mary, Mother of God. No, it happened. It could happen. It could happen.